546-8430. WSHA 88.9 FM. The show is Straight No Chaser, and I'm Susan Reeves here with you through 11 o'clock tonight. And we have a special treat for you in this 9 o'clock hour. We've got the music of Jaleel Shaw, whom we just heard. And hopefully, Jaleel, are you on the other end of the phone?
I'm here.
You're here. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Let me tell them about what we just heard. That was Love for Sale, the classic tune from Jaleel's brand new CD called Optimism. We're going to be able to hear more from that CD and another of his tonight in this 9 o'clock hour. But Jaleel, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us tonight, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And just to give everybody a little bit of a background, this is your second CD as a leader, Optimism. It was released last month. You also perform as a member of the Mingus Big Band up in New York, as well as are a member of the Roy Haynes Group. And listeners have heard him playing, and I've announced him in the last year. He's also recorded with Julie Hardy on her CD, The Wish, which we played a lot here. So a lot of different angles that we are getting familiar with your music.
Right, right. I guess in the past couple of years I've been fortunate to have been in those situations, you know, being able to record, you know, with Roy Haynes and play with the big band and record with vocalists too, like Julie. Julie's a great vocalist and a great composer as well.
Yes, it's been a wonderful CD to share with everyone and hear her different spin on things, and of course your additions have been wonderful as well. As a matter of fact, I remember the first time that I heard you was up at the Vanguard, and I'm guessing you must have been subbing that particular night with the Vanguard Orchestra.
Okay, right.
About a year ago, actually, and I remember sitting, I enjoyed the concert, but there was one particular solo that just blew me away, and I just had to find out who that was and thank that person, and it was you.
Wow.
So that was when you got on my radar. So I've been looking for your name ever since, and was excited to see that you had this CD coming out this year. And of course, as I got a chance to see you up at with the Mingus Big Band a couple months ago, that was an interesting night. It was a very icy night out, and I wanted to ask, are you actually staying, are you in Philadelphia now, or in New York, or a little bit of both?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia, but I actually live in North Jersey. I live in Paterson, New Jersey, outside of New York.
Yeah, okay, so you're across the river, so you are in the New York area, but
right.
New Jersey to be proper.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, speaking of Philly, we should go back a little bit here to some history. You said you grew up in Philly and started out. Did you start out with the saxophone?
Well, my mother actually had me in many different, I guess, musical situations. When I was 4 years old, she had me taking violin lessons, which lasted maybe about a few months. And after that, I think I didn't do anything for a couple years, and then I took piano and drum lessons, I think, at the, maybe maybe at the, I think, I guess it was my kindergarten or elementary school. And when I was eight, I attended elementary school in Germantown, Philadelphia, and I remember a music instructor from an instrument shop came to our school and played us a cartoon of kind of like the evolution of musical instruments. And actually, that cartoon is on a Fantasia video, the new Fantasia. I think it's Fantasia 2000. It's available. It's like a segment. It's like a extra on that DVD. And I just saw it, and it kind of like brought back all these memories, you know, because I hadn't seen it since then. But it was just, it's like a Disney cartoon with like the evolution of instruments. And after I saw that video, I said, okay, I want to play. I want to play an instrument.
Wow.
So I went back to my mom and I said, you know, I want to, you know, this guy came to our school and told us to pick, you should play. And we sat and we discussed which instrument I would pick, and I ended up picking the saxophone.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have saxophones that year, so they actually gave me a clarinet. I played that for a year, and then the next year I played saxophone. So I was nine.
When you actually started the saxophone and alto,
right.
Sax.
Right, it was alto sax.
Uh-huh.
And I took classical lessons for maybe 2 years, and then joined a band that was led by a great jazz educator named Lovett Hines. And
that's in Philadelphia.
Right, that's in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And a lot of great musicians have come through that band, like Christian McBride and Zoe DeFrancesco and Byron Landum. And I guess I was probably just joining the band when Christian McBride was leaving. He was 18, and he was going off to play with Wynton. And I got to play with him once, I think, before he left.
Wow.
And so I stayed in this youth band. I started playing in this youth band, and I stayed in this youth band almost up until I graduated from high school, you know. And just Philly was just a great place to grow up, you know. I had a lot of great mentors. I had a great saxophone teacher named Rayburn Wright, jazz violinist John Blake. I got close with him and his family and his son, who is actually Jonathan Blake, who is the drummer on the CD, one of my best friends. And so basically, I had a lot of great mentors. It was great coming up through Philly. And from Philly, I went to Berklee College of Music.
Uh-huh.
Studied there for 4 years.
And I understand you also were at the Manhattan School.
Right, and I went to Manhattan School of Music from, I guess, straight from Berklee for grad school.
Wow. So you've had a lot of different influences over the years, and it sounds like a lot of really solid, great teachers and inspirations.
Right. I have. I think I've been fortunate. And plus, my mom was just amazing. She was there all the time. You know, she was there for every lesson. She took me to every, you know, concert. Even today, she still comes to every concert that I do.
Oh, that's great.
You know, right.
So, that's wonderful.
Yeah, she's always been supportive. You know,
I think that's something that that is an important secret to musicians who are successful, is having that support from,
right,
family is great, or from friends or whatever, because there's no question there's a lot of time spent out on the road by the time you're doing what you're doing, and a lot of different pursuits that you really need that grounding and that cheering on from somebody,
right,
who really cares. That's great that,
right,
you had that.
Right, right. It was amazing. Like, when I look back and I think about the time that my mom spent with me, it's amazing. You know, and I always think, how am I ever going to be the kind of father that my mom was, you know, the kind of parent that my mom was to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How am I ever, you know, it kind of scared me into really thinking about, you know, my future as a parent.
It's a tall order to fill, huh?
Huh?
It's a tall order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's quite a testament. Testament. I gather that the scene at this point in Philly is getting quite a lot of press and a lot of attention. Do you think that the scene has changed in Philly in the last 10 years or so, since you were probably there more?
I think it has, but the fact that I haven't been there that much, I'm not really sure how the scene is, because now when I go home, I don't really hang at the jazz clubs anymore. I go home and to see my family, you know.
Yes.
I go to see my mom, and I haven't, I mean, you know, there are a couple clubs in Philly that I haven't been to in years. So I don't really know what the scene is like. I'm still in touch with a couple people that, you know, I perform with or I study with there, but not so many people. Not so many people. A lot of people, you know, like a pianist named Orrin Evans and saxophonist Robert Landon, who was my teacher at the time. A lot of people, they live there, but they don't. You don't really see them performing there so much. You know, well, mm-hmm. At least not that I know of. You know, so I'm not really sure how the Philly scene is. I just know that it's. When I was coming up in the Philly scene, it was great. You know, there was a club named Ort Leaves that I used to go to when I was young, and I would sit in with, you know, everyone that was there. And also whenever musicians came to Philadelphia, I sat in with them. You know, I got to meet a lot of musicians from New York, from them, from their performances in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And that's one thing that I realized when I got to New York. Had I lived in New York, I don't know if things would happen. If things would have happened like that, you know, New York is a different scene and the atmosphere is different.
So you had the opportunities, sort of as a stranger coming in and having the chances in a special atmosphere instead of being in the middle of it the whole time.
Right.
Well, one of the things about optimism, all the cuts are wonderful. There's a lot of different sounds, a lot of different feels. But the one I wanted to start with, we've already heard Love for Sale, but the one I wanted to start with next is the first cut on the CD. It's called Flipside, and I understand that this has been a winner now. Your second ASCAP Young Jazz Composer Award was given for this composition.
Right.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tune. And before we play it, I should tell everyone that the band, along with Jaleel Shaw on the alto sax, includes Lagerlund on guitar, Robert Glasper on the piano, Joe Martin bass. That's Jonathan Blake on the drums. And before I hit the play button, anything you want to tell us about this song? Any stories?
Any stories? I can't think of one. I guess I'll just let the music speak for itself.
Okay. This is Jaleel Shaw and his band, Flipside. You're listening to Straight No Chaser right here at WSHA, where we're talking with saxophonist and composer Jaleel Shaw, who's joining us from up north, New Jersey, New York area.
Right.
Got you back online here. And we just heard his composition, Flipside, from his brand new CD called Optimism. And Jaleel, I should have you make sure to tell everyone how they can find out more about you. Tell them about your website.
Okay, my website is www.jaleelshaw.com, J-A-L-E-E-L-S-H-A-W, and you can also find me at on MySpace, www.myspace.com/Jaleel Shaw. And the CD actually is only available online, and you can find that at cdbaby.com.
Oh, okay, that's important information, online. And speaking of online, this is a self-produced CD on
yes.
Changu Records. Tell yes. us about Changu. Is there a story behind that name?
Well,
did I say
yes.
it right?
yes, you did. Actually, I'm still learning it. But, I'm still learning the word. A friend of mine, a great vocalist named Somi.
Mm-hmm.
It was the day I met her. We were talking. We were doing a show together. We were going out on the road, and we were doing a rehearsal. And it was like right around the time when I kind of decided I was going to put the CD out on my own, and my artist, the person that was doing my artwork, was, you know, she needed all the material very soon, and I was thinking of a label, and Somi is from Africa, and I don't remember what part of Africa she is from. Oh, she's from Rwanda. And she, I was saying, man, I need a name for my label, you know. And I started, and I looked at her and I said, give me some names in Swahili. And she started giving me some names, and I started asking her, you know, how to say certain things in Swahili. And I started thinking, well, how do you say my or mine? And she said, Shangu. Shangu sounds pretty cool. So my records. Basically, it means my records in Swahili.
So it's actually Shangu.
Yes, Shangu.
Shangu. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for that clarification and wonderful story. That's great. Shangu Records from Jaleel Shaw. And the fact that you have the ability to put out a CD, as is the new thing these days, is a sort of do-it-yourself mentality, and getting a chance to have total control over your choice of material, the publishing rights and such afterward. What do you think about that? I mean, it's a whole lot of work, but it's a great result. How has this worked out for you?
Well, so far things are going pretty well. Sales, I'm just watching the sales. The sales have been cool. The online thing is, I think it's great now because, you know, so many of the, you know, the retail stores are closing, you know. The CD still isn't up on iTunes, and it'll probably be up in another month or so. So I'm hoping that'll, you know, open up more doors for, you know, for me to make my money back on the CD. For me, this was like a, kind of like a project, just to see what the business was like. You know, I learned so much from doing this, that even if things don't turn out exactly the way I want them to, I know a lot more than I did before I did this project. I know a lot more about the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very optimistic that, you know, that things will go well, that sales will be good. I'm still waiting for the CD to be reviewed. It actually just got reviewed in Jazz Man magazine. The first review was actually... Oh, it also got reviewed in the New York Times about a month ago. And it recently got reviewed in Jazz Man magazine. I just got, actually, the magazine in the mail today. And they gave it 4 stars, so...
Good for you.
You know, when I go and check my sales, I start seeing, you know, sales from France, which means that, you know, those reviews help.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's great. That's
so
great.
Far, it's been great. It's great to look at the CD and just say, man, I did this all by myself, you know, and to own the publishing and to own just to own the masters, you know. And I think nowadays, unless you're getting an amazing deal through a record label, I think the best thing to do is to own your masters.
Yes, yes. So. A lot of work, but the next one will be all that much easier, right?
Right.
Well, on this CD, you have some wonderful players, and I'm wondering if you wanted to talk at all about your group and how long you've played. I know that you mentioned Jonathan Blake, you've been working with since back in the day.
Right.
Robert Glasper, et cetera. What are some stories about the group?
Well, again, Jonathan, I've known the longest. I've known Jonathan since I was probably 11 years old, and we've been playing together ever since. So he pretty much knows me, you know. He knows what I'm going to do before I do, probably. So he's like a mainstay in the group, and, you know, we play together all the time. He also plays in the Mingus Big Band, and he's actually how I got in the Mingus Big Band, from hanging out with him, you know, going down to see them play. He's a great drummer. He also plays with Tom Harrell, and he plays with Russell Malone's band. Lage, actually, I met him at Berkeley, and we played a lot together. We were in an ensemble together. I think it was the Thelonious Monk Ensemble at Berkeley. And, you know, after playing with him for a semester, and actually the group that we played in, the ensemble, actually, Berkeley sent us different places. We actually came to New York to perform, and I think they sent us maybe 2 other places to perform. And after playing with him for a while, I knew that we were going to be playing together a lot more. You know, I really dug his style, and, you know, he was a great friend, too, you know. So we kind of clicked, and I started using him in my band, and he moved to New York a couple years after I did, and even though I didn't have gigs, you know, we would do sessions and play together, and, you know, he's just a great musician. He also plays with David Sanchez, and he plays with Marcus Strickland, and he's playing in a lot. He's actually getting pretty busy. He's actually from Norway. He's from Norway, and he recently won the Thelonious Monk competition. Robert Glasper is someone that I actually have been hearing about while I was at Berklee. I heard about this great pianist that was at the New School, and when I moved to New York, I saw him pretty often at jam sessions, and we just became really good friends. We would hang out, you know, with Marcus Strickland and EJ Strickland and Michael Marino. There are a bunch of us. We just kind of got cool, you know. We hung out, we went to the jam sessions, and Robert recently signed with Blue Note. He has two CDs out on Blue Note. He's amazing. He's an amazing pianist, and he's just an amazing person. He has a great sense of humor. If you ever get to meet him, he's hilarious, and he's very busy now, so it's been hard to get him, but, you know, I'm glad that I got him for the CD. Joe Martin is the bassist, and I just saw Joe Martin around town performing a lot with different bands, one of them being Kurt Rosenwinkel's group, and Kurt Rosenwinkel's band is one of my favorites out today, so I really checked them out a lot, and I really, you know, I dug what Joe was doing, and I decided to use him with my group. You know, he's been great. Jeremy Pelt, I actually met at Berklee, and actually I met him when I first got to Berklee, and he actually came looking for me because a friend of mine from Philadelphia had told him. A friend of mine from Philadelphia was bragging, I guess, about this alto player from Philly. Yeah, we have an alto player from Philly here, you know, on campus, and blah, blah, blah. And she was bragging about me. So I'm sitting in the cafeteria one day at lunch, and somebody comes to our table and says, "Who's Jaleel?" You know, and I'm looking up. And I'm thinking somebody's looking for me, you know. And I said, "You know, I'm Jaleel." And he said, "Well, you know, I've heard a lot about you, and, you know, I want to hear you play." And we actually went over to the dorm, and we went to the practice room, and, you know, we just played, you know, for about an hour, and he talked to us. Actually with me and a couple other musicians. He sat and talked to us for a while, and we just became good friends, and he actually used me on his first album, Profile, on Fresh Sound, and I told him, I said, "Man, I'm going to use you on my next album, you know, on my first album, you know, I'm going to have you in the tune." And when I finished all the tunes for my first album, I didn't hear a trumpet on any of them. So I didn't put them on there. And he kind of got on me about it. He told me you're going to use your first album. So when the second album came, I said, "Okay, I'm definitely going to write something for Jeremy." You know, and I decided to use the Love for Sale arrangement.
So we got to hear him on that first one we played, the Love for Sale.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds like there's a tremendous amount of chemistry between you all, and having the chance to live life together is what makes it all come together so well. That's great.
Right, right. It is. It's just New York scene. Actually, lately I haven't been hanging in New York as much as I used to, but past my first 4 or 5 years, I was hanging all the time, just meeting people and trying to play and going to the jam sessions. And also those relationships that I built at Berklee, you know, with Lage and Jeremy and with the many other musicians that were there, kind of helped me when I moved to New York, because I kind of knew everyone once I got to New York. I knew all my, you know, all my peer at least.
Yeah.
You know? So that networking had already been started, I guess, 4 years before I even arrived to New York.
That's great.
Yeah.
So to change the topic a little bit here, because we're going to run out of time soon, I can't believe it. There's so much more to talk about. But you're working with the Mingus Big Band, and of course you're touring with the Roy Haynes Group. I'm curious to hear they must be different experiences, and how they're different to you, and what are some of the big things you've gotten from each?
Well, the big band experience was a great lesson for me, and has been. And I did a lot of big bands when I was at Berkeley, and when I moved to New York, those big band experiences really helped me. The first gig I got after I had been in New York for about 2 months with the Mingus Big Band, and it was great. Just to work with so many. The thing about the Mingus Big Band is that the Mingus Big Band kind of rotates many different musicians. It's never the same band. You never see the same band in a month of shows in New York. You won't see the same people because everyone's, people get busy, and Sue basically uses who's available or who she wants to use for the band for a specific show. So I've gotten to work with a lot of New York musicians just from being in that band.
That's great.
The other thing that's great about Mingus's music is that it's very open and it's very free. Mingus wrote in different genres and styles, and from classical to kind of like late 40s, 50, early 50s pop, So that music it allows me to be free, and mm-hmm. I felt very comfortable in that band. To be myself and to develop my own style. The other thing, playing with a big band means that you don't get to solo very much. And I usually would get, depending on the concert, if it was a concert out of town, I would get one solo for the night, or if it was in New York, I would get maybe two solos. So playing with the big band definitely made me think about what I was going to play. Since I didn't have that much time to play, it made me really work on condensing my solos and making sure I said what I had to say,
Yes.
So that helped a lot. And from, and also I got to work with the Village Vanguard Orchestra, subbing with them. And I played with the Count Basie Orchestra for about a year. And all those experiences really helped me. And I think once I got to Roy Haynes' gig, having worked on improvising or taking short solos, it was kind of hard to have all that open space. I remember the first concert I did with Roy, one of the first shows I did with Roy, after the show, he pulled me to the side and said, "Man, what's wrong? What's wrong with you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, why are you playing so short? He said, "You don't want to play?" And I'm thinking, wow. I've never been yelled at for taking short solo, He said, "Man, play, just play, man. Don't worry about the time, just play." And that's been great because I'm more free than I've ever been now, playing with Roy. And also playing with Roy is great because you can hear the whole history of the music. When you play with Roy, you can hear the Louis Armstrong, you can hear the Sarah Vaughan. You can hear the Charlie Parker, the Billie Holiday, all these great musicians, the John Coltrane, Sonny Rollins, all these, Bud Powell, Thelonious Monk, these are people that he's performed with, and recorded with.
What a great apprenticeship.
Right, it is. And that's the thing. It's a great apprenticeship, and that's something that I'm realizing more and more every day how fortunate I am to be in this situation because, those situations are kind of, we're kind of losing those situations lately.
Yes.
There's so few situations like this, and I'm just glad that I'm able to basically stay in school for such a long time.
Yes.
So it's been great playing with Roy.
That's fabulous. What a wonderful opportunity. I cannot believe we're going to run out of time here soon. So I want to remind everyone about your website.
The website is www.jaleelshaw.com, JaleelShaw.com, and myspace.com/JaleelShaw. And the CD is only available now at cdbaby.com. And you just type in Jaleel Shaw.
I'll bet you have it linked on your site.
Yes, that's also linked on my site. Exactly.
And we're talking about Jaleel Shaw here at WSHA 88.9 FM and his new CD called Optimism. Want to hear one more cut from that on our way to NPR News. As I mentioned, there's a lot of different flavors on this CD, a lot of different sounds and feelings on it, and we've heard a couple more up-tempo things. There's one, a couple different things, one in particular called Muna's Sleeping, which is a very beautiful piece. We're going to hear that last in this hour. Got that queued up. So we know now where to find you on the web and such, and if there are any listeners who are either in the New York area or might be headed up there, like you might have to twist my arm, what's the next concert you want to make sure everybody knows about? Like perhaps your CD release party?
Right. Well, my CD release party is actually this weekend, this Friday and Saturday, at the Jazz Gallery in New York City, and you can actually find more information about that
at the website.
www.jazzgallery.org.
That's great. And any touring you might be doing down here in North Carolina soon? Anything on the agenda that you know of?
No.
Not yet.
So far I won't be, and I have nothing scheduled for North Carolina.
Well, we'll have to see whether perhaps in the near future we can change that, find some opportunity.
I would love to come down.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. Well, Jaleel, I really appreciate, again, you taking the time and sharing all these stories with us. It's been great to get to talk with you and learn more about your music.
Thank you. Hopefully we get to meet. Well, I guess we haven't met in person, but I get to see each other again. It's been a long time, I guess.
Yeah.
When was that Mingus show?
In February.
Okay.
About the 11th.
Yeah, that was my birthday.
It was the night that it was really, really icy out and you had to get back to Philly because the roads were so bad at midnight.
Right. Yeah.
It was a pretty nasty night.
Right. Actually, that was the day after my birthday. Yeah, I remember that night.
Well, we're gonna take it out here with Jaleel Shaw from his new CD called Optimism, and we're going to hear Jaleel and his band doing his composition called Muna's Sleeping. Thanks again, Jaleel.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me.